Okay, so we're on Daf Nun Hey today. So we're going to Nun Hey Amud Aleph 55A, page 109. Everybody's all set? Okay, Nun Hey Amud Aleph. Okay, Matnitin. Again, we're talking about different Nadarim and construing what the Nadarim mean. And again, the general. This is not good, not good. 1 second. All right. So in general, it's been a dharma lecha chal l'shom b'nei adam. We follow the way the language is normally understood by people, the way people speak in that locality. So manitin ha no der min ha dagan. If a person takes a neder, that dagan is prohibited to him. In other words, he'll say something like, konam dagan alai. So asur, now dagan in the Torah means grain, one of the five minim. If you look in the Rashi slash Mefarish, in the top line, he says, well, he's going on later on, but he mentions he have chitas derekus and sheep own v'shibol shuah. So you have, you know, wheat and barley, and then you have spelt and rye and oats. So those are the five minim. But the Tanakama, who's Reb Meir, holds that when people say dagan, they mean more than the five minim. So hanodir min adagan asur b'pula mitzri yavesh divrei Reb Meir. According to Tan Reb Meir, if a person takes a neder that dagan is prohibited from him, he also it would include the pula mitzri, the Egyptian bean, the dry Egyptian bean. Now, dagan means something that you could put in a pile. That's what it means. You can make it like into a smooth pile. So it means like kitnit, in other words, like legumes would be also something you put in a pile. So since that's the way people refer to it, dagan is also included in the neder, according to Tan Reb Meir. But chachamim omrim, eino asur b'chamish shanamim. The chachamim say, no, the person just means the five minim, and that's where we go with that. Then the Tanah Mishnah continues on, Reb Meir Omer, Hanodir Menatvua, but Tanah Reb Meir, who said Dagan, has a larger meaning, but he says if a person is an editor from Tevua, Eino Asur L'Mechamesh Aminim. There he says Tevua, everybody understands, means the five minim, which we went through before. Aval Hanodir Menadagan, Asur B'Kol, but going back, there's no difference. Please, somebody is unmuting themselves, which I don't like. Okay. Now, he says, but a person is netted from Dagan, asur b'chol. It means everything that can be made and put in a pile, mutar perot ilan avia. But a person would be permitted to have perot ilan, which is like fruit from the tree, and vegetables. Okay, 1 second, 1 second, 1 second. Let me just look at the page here. 1 second, 1 second, 1 second, 1 second. 1 second, okay. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I did so far? Yeah, okay, Yosef, go ahead. No. Okay, next. Okay, did Yosef ask me, according to Chamim, is there a difference between Dagan and Tevua? The answer is no. Okay, all right. Any other questions? Okay, I'm moving on to the Gemara. Okay, now, and again, if you look at the Ran, the first Ran, he says, the came and the midgan shosunu dagan through the remeir dagan dikri. In other words, since you can make it into a pile, so he calls it's also called dagan. All right, let's look at the Gemara now. So the Gemara says the memra the dagan called the midgan mashma. So focusing on this Tana remeir within his shita, apparently dagan is anything that midgan means that can be put in a pile. It's like so mati Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef asks a kash on this. From the following pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, and this pasuk is talking about Chizkiyah HaMelech. Remember, Chizkiyah was a very good king, and he was sandwiched in between two bad kings. His father Achaz was a big Rasha, and his son Menashe was bad news. But he was a very good king. So when he became king, he tried to, get the people to the people had become lax in Trumas and Masrot. So he urged them that they should observe the dinim of Trumas and Masrot, and to help prompt them with it. He increased it, so instead of the Trumas Masros just being from Dagan, Tirosh, and Yitzhar, which is from grain and grapes and the olives, he said that a whole wide variety of things will be chayav now in Trumas Masros. In other words, I want to get everybody with it. So the Pasuk says, Matrav Yosef, the Gemara quotes Pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, Uchaprot HaDavar, means when his enactment spread, so the people gave a tremendous amount of Reshit Dagan Tirosh V'Yitzhar and all Tuat Tadela Rov, and all the Tuat in great numbers. So the Gemara is bothered, or Rabbi Yosef is bothered, if I assume that Dagan means, according to Rabbi Meir, anything that's, you know, put in a pile, so then what do I need to put a sadeh? In other words, Dagan means anything that I could put in a pile, so it's also like all these beans and things like that. So what do we need even to put a sadeh? So he says, V'i'amri Dagan for the Midgan Mashma. So if I'll assume Dagan is anything that's placed in a pile, which is the way Rav Meir has it, my kifrotza davar yirbu. Now, now if you look on the side, he has like the key is from the end of the pasuk, and if you look on the in the Mesoras Hashas, he quotes from Rabbi Shai Pick Berlin. He says the Shilton mentions the chol tvoat sadeh amar Abaye. So the key is chol tvoat sadeh. So back in the Gemara, and then I'll pause in a minute. So amar Abaye latuy piro ilan v'gerik. So tvoat sadeh, yeah, in Achinami Rameir holds that Dagan means anything that's midgan. And when it says chol tvoat sadeh, it's saying that's including the fruits from the trees and the vegetables. They were also taking, you know, tumas and masters from them as well. That's what Kol Tvoat HaSadeh is including. Now, let me see this outside, then we'll do it inside. There's a, I think a Tosos here. Let me just check it out. Yeah. Okay. So let me say it outside before I do it inside. So Tosos is bothered, but the Tana Reb Meir agrees that Dagan in the Torah is the five meaning. So what's the kasha against Reb Meir? In other words, Reb Meir says when people speak in common parlance, and they say Dagan, it means more than the five minim. But even the Tana Reb Meir will concede when the Torah says Dagan, it means the five minim. So what's the kash from this pasuk that he says v'chut for asadev? So the first Dagan can mean the five minim, and to us there can be more. Like the kash doesn't even get off the ground. So Tosos is going to say that this pasuk is talking about the way people speak. In other words, this is not a pasuk in the Torah, it's from Dibrei Yamim. Let's just see Tosos and welcome Yaakov. Okay, we're on Nun Hei Amud Aleph, and I'm going to the Tosos. And then we're going to go on, okay? So if you look in the Tosfos, in my Gemara, it's around the fifth line from the top. Ukefrota davar, pasuku b'divrei yamim, shetikin chizkiyahu shabiyo masro b'otzar v'beit ha-mikdash. The chizkiyahu, he made a takana, they should bring all the tumas and masro v'beit ha-mikdash. Ukefrota takana to, and when his takana, his enactment spread, yirbu b'nei Yisrael masir dagan tirosh b'itzar v'chut v'as til rov. So we think that Tvoat HaSadeh means like beans and things like that. And if the first term, Dagan, also means include beans, why don't we Tvoat HaSadeh? Now, here's the key. When he Dagan, the people write Master Dagan, so even though the Tana Reb Meir will concede that the Gan, though it's written in the Torah, it means the five minim. Mihu hahut divrei yami mashma kol mili yilushom ben adam mashma kol mili demed gan hahut nami mashma kol mili. So he wants to say that in divrei yamim, it's the way people speak. That's the way Tosos is getting through it. But otherwise you'd have a kasha with this. Okay, let me just summarize some people walking in the door, and then and let me just let two more people in. Okay. All right. So, okay, welcome everybody. Okay, so our Nun Hei Amud Aleph, let me just repeat a little bit, okay? So we quoted a machloket in the Mishnah. We're talking about construing different nedarim. So we mentioned in the Mishnah that if a person makes a neder that prohibits him from eating Dagan, so according to the Tana Reb Meir, Dagan in the Torah means the five minim, the Kita, Sora, and then the Kusmin, Shibol, Shual, and she phoned. So, but according to Tana Reb Meir, if a person takes a neder, he's not going to eat Dagan, or Dagan is prohibited on him. That would be, he would say, konam Dagan alai. So that means, so if he should say that, it includes more, I mean, it includes anything that would put in a pile, a nice smooth pile, and that includes pula mitzri, also the Egyptian bean. Because the way people talk, again, so when it comes to Nedarim, so the Klala has been Nedarim, Halecha Parlashom B'nei Adam. When it comes to construing Nedarim, we understand the way people normally speak, that time and locality. That's what you need to look at. So, and according to Chaim, no, it means the five medium. Okay, then the Gemara asked the Kasha from the Pasuk in Divrei Yamim, which was hard to understand within Reb Meir, But then the Gemara was able to explain it. Now, again, according to the Chachamim who were Mechulak with Meir, the Pasuk is simple. So Dagan means the five minim, Tvarasta means more than that. But within Remeir, so he's saying that Tvarasta includes the Peirot Ha'ilan and the Yerek. All right. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
Yes, Rabbi, I have a question.
Yeah, what's up, Daniel?
Since it's going after Lashon Bnei Adam, and we know that it depends on what people mean, every generation, every location is going to have right. different. So, I mean, right. why? What do you mean, why? In America, we might do something else.
I didn't say why. I said right, correct.
Okay, fine.
Okay, go ahead.
So based on that, what we are learning in terms of the Gemara, it is just the principles, but the halakha, it depends on exactly what people mean. Okay.
Right, all right.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see further. All right, now. Okay, so we're at the two dots now, Anun Hayam and Aleph, around 10 lines down. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hanodir Menat Tavua B'Kulei. So even though, but when it comes to Tavua, so in the Mishnah, it says, Rabbi Meir says, Hanodir Menat Tavua, Enos Rameichav Shinaminim. So the same Rabbi Meir who says, Dagan means more than the five meanings, but if a person says Tavua, that's only the five meanings. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, HaKol Modi B'Nodir Menat Tavua, Shenas Rameichav Shinaminim. So Rabbi Yochanan says, even though in the Mishnah it says that Rabbi Meir is the one who says Tavua is the five minim, but Rabbi Yochanan says it's everybody. So it's Sai Rabbi Meir, Sai the Chachamim. Everybody agrees with that. Tani Nami Hachi, and here the Bach has Bishavim the Noder Ben Tavua Shein Asur Lamei Chamishin Amin. That they both agree, i.e., the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir agree. Now Tavua is a narrower term. So if the Chachamim hold by Dagan, it means five minim. So for sure they hold by it. So the time of the Bryce says, "B'shavim b'nodir b'natfu shein asur le'toishin amin." That they, the Chachamim, the Meir, both agree that it's just the five meaning. So the Gemara says, "Pshita, that's obvious. Why do we even need the Tana to tell me that? Because if Remeir holds, even Remeir is the more liberal one, he holds that Tavua is the five meaning. So certainly the Chachamim are going to hold that way. So the Gemara says, "Ma'utein the Tavua kol milei mashma." So here you need a little bit of a mafarshim on this. Then there's a targum not. This week's parsha, but next week's parsha. Parsha is Vayigash. It says Vayabat Rov Sem Chamishit LaParo. If you remember, at the end of parsha Vayigash, so Yosef sets up a taxing system where you'll give the fifth of the Tavua to Paro. In other words, so the word Tavua, the Targum translates as Maalalta. So Maalalta means like any profit, any increase. So the Gemara says like this. So back in the Gemara, so ma'udatema tavua kumili mashma. Now ma'alalta means any profits. I would have said, I said tavua can mean anything. Anything that, increases, like it grows, increases value. So kamashmalan, dilo mashma kumili. So therefore, the Tana's teaching me, no. Tavua means just the five meaning. So ma'atib Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef asked Akasha against this. So what do you do with this Pasuk? So in other words, again, we said Tavua just means the five meaning. But in the previous Pasuk that we darshan from Divrei Yamim, we said that they gave Dagan, and then they brought Tavua. And Tavua was even more than the five meaning, right? Tavua was, at least according to Rav, according to everybody, it was more than the five meaning. So how does that seem noise? So let's see this. It says, so Amar Rava, Tavua Lefa, Tavua Tzadeh Lefa. So Rava says it's the difference between Tavua and Tavua Tzadeh. If you say Tavua, every five meaning. Tavua Tzadeh, so that means a much wider range. Okay? All right. Let's take a look. Okay. So we'll just do a little bit of round on this. Let's do the sixth narrow line in the round, left-hand column. He says, La Tri Pirilum Viera, this we did. I call one of Benodim and a Tibu Bahule, the Afogab, the Tani Lamanitim, the Shonichid, the Rea Koli. Even though the Tana taught it, as Vermeer says, everybody holds with that. So Mahu de Tema, Tibu Kumili Mashma, me the Batargamin Alalta, Balalta Mashma Kumili, the Amin will come on. So I would have thought it meant everything. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. So we're up to Amar Rava, around six lines above where it gets wide. So Amar Rava, this we did already, I'm sorry. Mar Shmuel, yeah. So the Gemara says, Bar Mar Shmuel, Haki, Dlitman, Tlaser, Alfi, Zuze, the Rava, Min Alalta, the Nahar Panya. So this relates to the previous sugya. We said alalta is the way the Targum translates tavua, and there we said alalta means like profit and the increase. I think alalta is like, I think, connected to the word to be ole, you know, that's what we think. So the son of Mar Shmuel, he left a tzava. According to Rashi, if you look at the Rashi, he says, Pakit sivabet tzava'ato. He left a will in which he left Rava 13,000 zuzim, which is a lot of money. He says, min alalta the Nahar Panya. From his alalta Nahar Panya. Nahar Panya is the town, and he left it from the alalta. So upon his death, all Rava has to do is go to the property and then collect his 13,000 zuzim from the alalta. So Shalcha Rava, the Kamid Rav Yosef. So Rava sent the following query to Rav Yosef. Alalta hechimikria. What exactly is alalta? How do I define alalta? So I'm Rav Yosef manitini. So Rav Yosef responds that the pshat is in our Mishnah. He says, v'shavin benoder minatavua, or shvi matnita, in the Brisa. So on the side, he corrects it to matnita. In other words, the pshat is in the Brisa we just cited. Manita hi. That both the Chachamim and Reb Meir agree that if a person takes it like konam tvua alive, he says something like that, it's just the five minim. So notwithstanding, so again, the targum of tvua is alalta. And Rabbi asked him, what's alalta? So he said, the Braisa says, so he's assuming that alalta is the same as tvua. So if the Braisa says everybody agrees it's just the five minim, that's all you got. So Amarle Abaye, so Abaye says to Rav Yosef, and Daf Yomi, people may recall, Rav Yosef forgot his learning, Abaye helped restore it, so Abaye is his Talmud. So Amarle Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Midami, how can you compare the two? Tavua lomash melech meishan aminim. Tavua, you're right, that's just the five meaning. Alalta kumili mashma. Alalta means anything that increases in value. Adru l'kami d'rava. So here there's a machloka between the Masifta and the Art Scroll. The Masifta thought, Adru l'kami d'rava, that they brought the response, Rabbi Yosef's response, that alalta just meant the five minim. And one second, let me just... But the article said they gave a Abaye's response. He says that it's more than the five minim. But either way, on the second wide line, Amar... He says, that I knew obviously, alalta means more than the five meaning. Rava is saying, he's sending a message back to Rav Yosef. He says, halo kimabayali, alalta kumili mashma. Adai would be bayali, what I was asking is like this. I got, alalta means more than the five grapes. It'll mean all the crops. But hadahudai bayali, what I was bothered, the question I was asking is, skar batim, who's skar sfin on mine. What about the income from, I guess, the rental of homes and the rental of the boats? So he says, "Mi amrinan came to pachtan lav alaltahi." Do I say that since they diminish in value? In other words, the real property, you know, the boat and the homes that they, I mean, the real property is the home, but in other words, like it goes down in value. So maybe it's not called alalta. I thought alalta means something that only goes up, you know, not down. He says, "Odilma." Seemingly via pachatayu, or perhaps since it's not discernible their diminishment in value, alalta. It's still called alalta. That's my question. So Amru Rabbanan Kamed Rabbi Yosef. So the Chachamim gave the response back to Rabbi Yosef. Amar and Rabbi Yosef said, "Bechimia kard lo tsarichlan amai shalachlan." He says, "Look, he doesn't need me. Why is he even asking me the question?" In other words, I said alalta just means tefua. He's got all these other ideas. It means this, that, the other thing. So what does he even need to ask me? Ikpid Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef was somewhat insulted. He took affront from Rava's response. So the Gemara says, Shama Rava. So Rava heard about Rav Yosef's response. So Ba'at L'kame B'bala Yom Kippurim. He came before Rav Yosef on Erev Yom Kippurim to ask Mechila from him. So Ashche L'shamei Nava Kamazi Kame Kasa D'chamer. So remember, Rav Yosef, remember, was blind. We've had this before. Rav Yosef was blind. So when Rava comes to Rav Yosef, he sees that Rav Yosef's attendant is busy mixing wine for him. In other words, the wines were very strong, so they mix it with water, the mosaic coats. So he sees that this attendant is mixing wine for him. So Amarle, so he, Rava, says to the attendant, Havli the emzigleana. His give it to me. I want to mix it for Rav Yosef. So Yahuble the kamazik you kasa the chamra. So Rav indeed he mixed the cup of wine. He kashanti when Rav Yosef drank from the cup. Amar he said. Adain mizga dami the mizga the rabba braided Rav Yosef bar chama. This blending of the wine tastes a lot like the way Rabba used to do it. I guess I knew the way he was supposed to say the toast. Now, if you look, let's look on the Ran. It's 6 lines from the bottom of the Ran, left hand column. He says, Adain mizga dami the mizga the braided Rav Yosef bar chama. He says, the mazig al khatlat the maya. In other words, he one part wine, three parts water. He says, the Rava who the Amar, Kokamu Dari al Khat, Shlatamaya, Bab Kamaru. Because Rava is the one who says that if you don't mix it with, you know, three parts water, one part wine, it's not really wine. So he mixed it the way he had said. I don't know when every Yom Kippur, but on this occasion he was. So back in the Gemara. So Amar Le, who knew? So he says, he's it. It means I'm it. That's exactly who I am. So Amar Le, so then Rav Yosef, though he came, again, Rabbi came because he wanted to ask Mechila from Rav Yosef. But before he can even ask for Mechila, Rav Yosef interjects with a question. But the question is going to, the thrust of the question was that he's going to try to impress upon Rabbi the importance of humility. That's the thrust of it. Yeah. Yeah. Before I go into the Musar, though, let me get the Halak Lamaisa. So where does this leave us, though, with this Alalta, yeah, with Alalta. So turn the page on Amud Beis, we'll do the Ran. So if you look on the fourth wide line on the top on Nun Hamud Beis, 55b, the fourth wide line from the top in the Ran, Leinin Halacha, Bayin de Rabba Lu'ifshita. So in Halacha, Rabba's query was never determined. Rabba said, does Alalta include the income from the houses, the income from the boats? So the Gemara never resolves that question. So therefore, in the case that we were discussing where someone left the will, you know, Bar Shmuel left the will with Rabba for a place for Alfi Zuzay, he says he can't collect it. Yad Bala Shtar L'Tachtona. If a person has a star, it's not clear from the star whether he's entitled to it or not, so he's in an inferior position. Aval L'Gabi Nedarim L'Kinu L'Chum Reb Kulam B'Chal. But in terms of Nedarim, if a person made a Neder, Asring Alalta, so all of that would be prohibited. All of that would be prohibited. Okay, now let's go back to the Gemara on Abed Aleph, and then I'll pause it if you like. Okay, so Amar Le Lo Teitibak Karev. So Rav Yosef says to Rava, Lo Teitibak Karev means like don't sit on your feet. Means, don't sit down. Ada Amar Le Perusha Dein Milta. Who explained to me the following pasuk? This is my dichtiv. Now this is a pasuk in Parshas Chukat. Now, it mentions the Pshuto Shel Mikra means it's mentioning different places, but it's not really place names. So he's going to say, Mimibar Matana, in other words, like they probably went from one place to another. Mimibar Matana, Mimatana Nathaliel, Mimatalil Bamot. So he says, what does that pasuk mean? Because there are no, if you look in Parshas Maaseh, there are no place names like that in Parshas Maaseh. So at least that's the way the art school had it. So Amar Lei, so Rava says, even Shosa Adam Adatzmo Kamidbar to move Parlakol Torah Nitlo B'Matana. When if a person comports himself like the Midbar as Hefker for everybody, so the Torah is given to his Matana. Meaning, if he freely makes his Torah available to everybody, Shemina Shemayim, they give him the Torah. In other words, so people come to ask him questions and he opens and he gives and explains everything. So he's Zoche to get the Torah. So the Torah is given to his Matana. Shneamar Midbar Matana. In other words, if you comport yourself like the Midbar, then it's a matana to you. The Torah is a gift for you. Became a shenilu matana, and then once the Torah is given to the person as a matana, nakalo kale. It means God gives to him as a Yerusha. He says, shenemor matana nakaliel. Became a shenakalo kale, and once God gives to him as Yerusha, ole l'gdula. The person rises up. In other words, he exalt the position. Shenemor, he's darshening each word. In other words, Midbar, you comport yourself like the Midbar, the desert, which is open to everybody, and that's where you are with your Torah. So Matana, the Torah is like a Matana. Matana Nachliel, once you do it like that, then it becomes your Yerusha. Nachliel means like the Nachla from Hashem. And then once you do that, then you rise to Gdula. Nachliel Bamot. Bamot is like the heights. He says, but if the person acts 40, he's by being himself, then God brings him low. Shenemar umi b'mod hagai, from the b'mod to the valley. In other words, if you're like being yourself, so it's interesting the pedagogic method that Rabbi Yosef employs. In other words, Rabbi Yosef doesn't say, you know, you need to act with humility. That's the way it works. He elicits the statement from Rava himself that what should a person should comport himself with humility, and he's trusting that Rava gets the message. So one second. So he says,
Rava's
again, Rabbi Yosef asks, right, he's eliciting from Rava the point that he, Rabbi Yosef, wants to make. So in other words, the teaching method is that the student says what is fit. That's the method. Okay, so let's get back to the Gemara. You know, there's a Gemara, I mentioned this during the summer, or I mentioned during the summer, like in Baba Batra, it mentions about Sugya, I think it's on Daf Samach on the Bays over there, mentions about Rabbi Yeshua with these, what's the expression of the Gemara? There were these Prushim, right, these people who were more, like aesthetic after the Purim Beis Hamikdash. They wanted to stay away from all these hanas. They didn't want to eat. They said, how can we eat meat? How can we drink wine? There's no Beis Hamikdash. There's no korbanos. There's no nesachim. We can't eat it. So Rabbi Yeshua doesn't say, you know, you're ridiculous. It's ridiculous to do it. He said, it's Taka, you know, you got a great idea. So maybe you should stay away from the, from what does he say? You should say for the wheat, because he had like the meal offerings, the nacho. He said, all right, Taka, we can do that. He says, maybe you should stay away from the payroad, because he had the bikurim. All right, maybe that. He says, maybe you should stay away from water, since it was Nesachim. So they didn't have an answer to that. So he says, like, you know, to do all this, we can't do, but we do the best. Like, you got to remember, like, a little bit of. But the thing is that, like, he elicits the answer from the student. That's the best one. So the Gemara is, like, you know, teaching Agavorcha, like a pedagogic method. So he says here, back in the Gemara, he sinks into the earth. He's too arrogant. He's like, Nishkafa. Now, there's two ways to understand this. So one way, the Rashash, this is the way the Rizar quoted in the Art Scroll, Nishkafa, that the pay and the ayin and the aliphate are near one, so ayin pay. So the pay can be substituted for the ayin. So Vinishka, like he sinks. Vishoke means like you sink, like Shkia, like the sun sets. It sets below the horizon. It sinks. Shokan to Bakarka. Or Vinishkafa Panea Shimon, we other before should say it, he's like, if you look in the Tosos, he says the Shon scoop and address it. It's like the threshold. It's like beaten down. Anyway, Vim Choserbo, and then the Gemara on the bottom line, he says, but if he does tshuva, a Kaddish Baruch Hu might be oh. Then the Kaddish Baruch Hu will raise him up. Shenemar, Bogei Nasei. So this Pasuk is not near the other part, but it mentioned Gei before. We said, he says, Umi Bamod Hagai. So then this Pasuk says, Bogei Nasei. Every low place will be raised high. That's the Haftorah for, who knows the Haftorah, which Haftorah this is, which Haftorah? Bogei Nasei. Anyway, it was Nachmu, Shabbos Nachmu. Nachmu, I mean. So Kogeyina said, okay, so that's that piece. Okay, now, if you look at the top Ron here, he says, Kogeyina say, Afagam Lokitiv Gabi Haikro, Mirach Liel Bamot, even though this phrase is not that other Pasuk, that you, Betorah, Bahai Benabim, the Pasuk was in Torah, there's in the Biyam, Apilu Haki, Himidachiba Kachbarhu Mashpiloki Gay, just it said, you know, what was the expression? He said, Umi Bamot Hagai. So some person brings people low, like the valley. Mighty Raya Shemashvel Tosofol Alot Zivkol Geyin Asay. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? I assume so. What in a word for why? Okay, now let's see what we have here. Okay, time for a story. On today's daf, we see that a prerequisite for Torah greatness is true humility. The gift of Torah can only be received by the person who makes himself barren as the desert. It is only afterward that a person can come to greatness. The Gedolim were always filled with this precious meat of humility. When the Abbas Yisrael Vision of Tzitzal was already elderly, he felt ill and consulted a doctor. The doctor said that the Rebbe should go to the famous Carlsbad Spring to convalesce. When the Rebbe arrived there, of Sofer, a grandson of the Chasam Sofer, was also there for his health. They would always go to these spas in Europe. Yeah, one of Rav Sofer's friends recommended that he should take advantage of the opportunity to go see the famous tzaddik, the Abbas of Vizhnitz. Rav Sofer decided to take his advice and made his way to where the Rebbe was staying. When he arrived, he saw an elderly man learning. Before Rav Sofer had time to open his mouth, the old man said, "What does your honor, grandson of the holy Chassid Sofer, seek?" So, you know, I think one grandson, I don't know if this is the one, the Chassid Sofer's son was Chassid Sofer. I think he had a grandson, the Shevet Sofer. So I don't know if this is him or somebody else. So he says, "I have come to where I understood the Rebbe of Vizhnitz is staying, so I would like to meet with him." Rav Sofer answered, "What for?" interjected the old man. "Who is the Vizhnitzer after all? An elderly man who knows how to learn a little, put on a long coat, and became a Rebbe. Why waste your time visiting him? Wouldn't you be better off learning a Daf Gemara instead?" "Nu, nu," answered Rav Sofer, and he returned to his rooms. A little while later, the same friend told him that the Rebbe was in shul and asked him to join him for a visit of his own. Rav Sofer acquiesced once again. When they arrived, he was surprised to find the Rebbe was the same elderly man who had dissuaded him earlier. Rav Sofer protested, "Rebbe tricked me with his words earlier." The Vizhnitzer Rebbe shook his head and replied, "Not at all. I know the Rebbe better than anyone, and you could take it from me that every word I told you was absolutely true." Anyway, it's just like an example of humility. There's a story about a Chafetz Chaim like that also, you know, like you have to go? Okay, so the Chafetz Chaim was traveling once, and I don't remember. No, I remember. No. It was a big...
You got hit.
One second. It was a wintry day. The Chafetz Chaim was walking, and this person, like, he stopped his wagon. He said, "Where can I find the Chafetz Chaim?" He says, like, "I don't know, what do you want to see him? Oh, he's a great gadol." This, the other. He says, "Nah, he's not such a great gadol." He says, "Well, what do you mean? Everybody," he says, "everybody feels that he's a great gadol." He says, I know him. He's not a great gadol. So, anyways, the guy gets so angry at the person. So he whips him. He takes the horse whipping. He whips the Chafetz Chaim. So then later on, he eventually finds the home of the Chafetz Chaim. And then he's ushered into the Chafetz Chaim. And he sees the person who he whipped. It's the Chafetz Chaim. He's like flossing, like facing. He says, "Please forgive me. You know, I didn't realize it was you." He says, so the Chafetz Chaim, I think he said that he saw that you can't, like you can't even, you have to watch even Lashon Hara about yourself is wrong. Like, it even leads to something like that. Okay, do you want to see something, Aaron Moshe?
I was going to just say that's the famous story that that it shows that you can't belittle yourself too sometimes. So right. Chofetz Chaim said to the guy, "You're right. You were right by doing it."
You were right. What?
In other words, he shouldn't have belittled.
But he said he was right to whip him or not? Or
not right to whip him, but I mean he shouldn't feel bad that the Chofetz Chaim is nothing against him.
Anyway, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? All right, let's go back on the Gemara and we'll wrap it up. Now, all right, one line one on Nun Hamid Beis, 55B line one. So Tanya, everybody mute themselves. Tanya, Hanoder min adagan asura pula mitzvah yavesh mutar balach. If a person is a neder that Dagan is prohibited to him, so he's prohibited on Kula Mitzri Yavesh. This is like the Tana Rameir that we had in the Mishnah, the dry Egyptian bean, Umutar Balak. But the fresh bean he's allowed to have. I guess it was not piled up in a pile then. And then the Tana Braisa continues, Umutar Ba'orez, which we usually translate as rice. He could have, even though he took a neder prohibiting Dagan, he could have rice. It says, Bechilka Betargis Ubatisni. He also is permitted to have chilka targets in tisni. So if you look at the Ran here, so the Ran explains, he says, first of all, the Ran, let me do it. Tanya, no dimana digana surah, but pull him as viyavesh. Came into Midgan, Rameir Ketani La, Rameir is teaching this brisa. Chilka chitash nekla kalishtayim. When a kernel of wheat is cut into two, or split into two, it's called chilka like lachalai. Tirgis echad l'shlosha. And Tisni Yechali Arba, Haki Amar Perak Misha Hafa. He says, now, the only thing is like this. So, how does this work? In other words, a person makes the neder for Dagon. So, he's prohibited on the wheat. So, does that mean now he can break the wheat into two or three parts and now he can eat the wheat? How does this work? So, if you look at the Rush, let's see the Rush. One second. Yeah. He says, it's in my Gemara, it's around 8 lines from the bottom. This is va'afopish on the left-hand column. Va'afopish akodem shnechleku ha'yasur b'chitim. He said, even though before it was broken apart, this person was prohibited from eating chitim. Atashin nechleku, but now bechlal dagan. Below asar tzmo el mashenik braid chita myri. So he says. So in achinami. So now it's not part of the prohibition. It's a different chepta. Inami hadikamar mutar shnechu kodem nidro yesu kvar mechlal dagan. Or it not this way. It's a different shot. It means that if it had been broken up into different parts before he made the neder, so then it's not included as neder. But in other words, second one holds. In other words, the issue is, let's say he makes the neder, he's not going to have dagan, so he's not allowed to have grain. So if he takes the grain and breaks it into different parts, is that permissible or not permissible? So the first shot in the rush says now it's permissible. Now it's not kolchita anymore. Now it's called something else, called chilka. But the second shot says no. It was already chita, and it's prohibited. But it means if it had been broken up before, it's not included in the netter because it's not called. That's not called dagan. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Yeah, it's other things also, but it's certainly grain. Okay, now on line three, hanoder in peirot hashana. If a person takes a netter that the peirot hashana. Now peirot doesn't have to be in fruit. In modern Hebrew, it's fruit. Peirot means that which the earth produces is peirot. Asur b'chol peirot hashana, so he's prohibited in anything that the earth produces. Umutar b'gidayim, but he's allowed to have the kids, which are like the, you know, it was the young born, you know, goats. Ubetlayim and the young sheep. He says ubechalav, he can have milk. Ubebeitzim and eggs. Ubegozalot, they said chicks. They said in the Orange Scroll. B'mamar gidulei shana alai, but if he says he makes a net of the gidulei shana alai, all the things that grew this year are prohibited, asur b'kulan, he's prohibited on all of them. Let's look at the Ran. In my Ran, it's around the eighth narrow line. B'mamar gidulei shana alai, asur b'kulan, miyudavka b'shlo asur alav, elozman shuyecho lamonbo. It's only if he had like a limited period of time. It was gidulei shana for the next 30 days or something like that. Avali olam lo habi nidra kval, shifro l'kaimo. In other words, right. So in other words, whatever the period of time you could get along without it, that would be it. But if he says open-ended, that's not binding because you can't live that way. Okay, now, back in the Gemara, around line 8, hanoder min peirot ha'aretz, if a person takes an eder from peirot ha'aretz, a cervical peirot ha'aretz, now, we're getting to Aaron Moshe's line of specialty here. If a person takes an eder from peirot ha'aretz, like that which the earth produces, he's prohibited from anything the earth produces, umutar, v'kmein u'pitriot, but he's allowed to have truffles and mushrooms. In other words, the truffles and the mushrooms are not viewed as the peirot ha'aretz. V'mamar gidulei karka alai, but if he said gidulei karka, that which grows from the karka is upon me, asur b'kulan. Then he's even prohibited in the truffles and the mushrooms. Now, it means that the truffles and the mushrooms, they don't get their yunika from the earth, but they grow from the earth. So if he says gidulei karka means that which grows from the earth, that includes the mushrooms, okay? So now, Ramini, and this we pose a contradiction. That was one brisa. Now we have a second brisa. Second brisa, Ramini, adabar she'in gidulam min ha'aretz, omer shakol nivro. If something does not grow from the earth, the correct bracha is shakol nivro b'dvaro, right? Like, let's say milk would be shakol nivro b'dvaro. It doesn't grow from the earth. The Tanya, and we learn in another brisa, ala melech v'elazamit, on salt or salt water, the alkemenu pitriot, truffles and mushrooms, omer shakol nivro. One recites the bracha shakol nivro on a mushroom, despite the fact that it's growing from the ground, but it's a shakol nivro. So the kasha is that in the earlier brisa that we said, if the person, by nadarim, the person says gidulei karka, so he's prohibiting the mushrooms. And here, we're saying that they aren't gidulei karka. He says they make it shakol nivro. That's a stira, right? So are they gidulei karka or not gidulei karka? Well, no. Before we Before we said they are gidulei karka, he said if he said gidulei karka alai, he's prohibited in the mushrooms. So right. So now we were saying they are gidulei karka. They grow from the earth. Now we're saying they're not gidulei karka. So he says Amar Abaye. So Abaye explains. They grow from the earth, but may not meavira yanki. But they get their nourishment from the air, from the moisture, v'lomayar, not from the ground. So it means, so the gabe the darim, if a person says gidulei karka, he means that which like grew in the ground, so the dharma is this way. So, but hakatani al-davarsha in yidulumina aretz. But so, how come the brisa, when it talks about the bracha, it says if it's something that's not yidulumina aretz, but it is yidulumina aretz? Tani al-davarsha in yonekmina aretz. So, we should learn that brisa as if it said al-davarsha in yonekmina aretz. So, it means in terms of the bracha, the question is that it does it get its yonekum in aretz? So, does it get its nourishment from the ground? So if it doesn't get unique, the Tana of the Brice didn't say these words, but this is the way the Gemara understands it. So when so if it does not get unique from the ground, then you make the bracha shakoni advaro, and the mushrooms don't get unique from the ground. But legabi the din of the darim, a person's gidule karka means it grows from the ground. In Achinami, that's included in that neder for gidule karka. All right. Now, who's got questions, comments? You want to see somebody data who wants? What? But what? No. But where is their main sustenance from? Yeah. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Is it could be you're just saying like an infinitesimal amount comes the other way, but the ikar is the other things. Okay. What do you got for me, Josh?
Two things. Kind of to this. How do you deal with things that like they say, oh, like this is the reason for this, but now like this day it's like not
true. Look, not in this Gemara you didn't have it though. In other words, this Gemara everything is working out well. So what you're saying is like when science seems a little bit different than the Gemara, it's a very complicated topic which comes up every now and then, but we're not gonna take it up tonight. Okay? Now, all right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
So he did all of that stuff.
What?
He tried to get more.
He instituted that Trumas and Maestros have right. to take place from a wider scope of items. Although one of the Mefarshim and the Masifta said that Shlomo Melech had really increased it, but go ahead.
He did that also like in response to like.
The people were lax, so he wanted to. Yeah,
they have the drug that he would.
Like, oh. Oh no! Is that a question or a statement? That they do have the jugs. Okay, Josh says they have the jugs from the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. This I don't understand how it's in response to aggression from the north. I don't understand what this then. Yeah, but this is not that's not what the pasuk is saying. Not what the Gemara is saying. That could be the war or something else. But this is the Gemara is saying that they had been lax in the mitzvah, so he was trying to mechazik them. So. I don't know what's doing with those things. All right, how do they know? All right. No, well, banana is Bori Priya Dhamma. It's not Shakol. It's Bori Priya Dhamma. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. Now, okay, we're at the next Mishnah. Everybody with me? Okay, on Eton. Okay. Everybody, okay. Hanoder minakut. If a person makes a neder that he's barring, he's not going to wear garments, which is not a great neder to take, but he makes that neder. Mutar basak. He's allowed to wear sackcloth. Sackcloth is obviously it means like woven goat hair. It's very uncomfortable, but it's not like you know Saks Fifth Avenue. It's not something you would normally buy. Like the thing we're familiar with is usually in Tanakh, you know, or you know people. You know, if they're fasting, they put on sackcloth because it's a very painful, you know, uncomfortable sort of garment. So he says, I know the next set mutar basak will be real with chamila. So Yerila and chamila, they said also these like very uncomfortable garments. They said, let me see what they have in the art scroll, what they say. They said, he says these were made, were very heavy and coarse. So not commonly worn. He says, and he quotes the Perush Rambam, he says that chamila was a thick water resistant curtain and then urea is a coarse thick cloth that was unsewn. Anyway, you get the idea that you these things which are very comfortable you can wear. Now, Amar Konam Semer Ole Alai, if he makes this neder that's wool, he's prohibiting himself from wool. So if he says, he means like a wool garment, But it, so he could wear like tufts of wool. In other words, it hasn't been processed into a garment. Again, we're trying to understand what he meant or what normal person would normally mean when he would say such a thing. Then hapishtan, or the way that the Bach has this, is pishtan ole alai mutar lekasor banitei pishtan. So he says pishtan, which is the flax. He says, but he could wear like stalks of flax, you know. In other words, he means like he's not going to wear a linen garment, presumably. And he says, now Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hakol Pino there. Rabbi Yehuda says everything depends on the circumstances. Meaning, Ta'an Behizia, let's say he was carrying a big load of wool and linen, and he's schwitzing, by a Reichel Kasha, and the load stinks. Everything. And if you look at the Rashi Mefarish, says Mefurish that Hayataun Semeru Pishtan Beizia. He says Vayarechu Kashen is like smelling. In other words, he smells from all of it. Amar Konam Semeru Pishtim Olelai. And then he says, "That's he makes this netter Konam Semeru Pishtim Olelai." Lutar the Pasod Basrulav Shilach Rav. Under those circumstances, he didn't mean he's not going to wear it. He means he's not going to carry it anymore. And so, okay, so now in the Mishnah, so the way now Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah is going to be different than we're going to have Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa. So in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that all things being equal, that if he would say the konam pishtan olalai, it would mean garments, that he can't wear the garment. But if under the circumstances I see doesn't mean garment, then won't do it that way. In other words, default, absent any other evidence, would be garment. And then if you have other evidence, maybe it doesn't mean garment. That's what Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Okay? All right. No, because you could have a nice garment that, you know, like in other words, he's carrying a, like a whole pile of them and everything sticks with wool. But he might wear a nice, you know, wool sweater or something like that. Okay. So let's see back in the Gemara. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Tanya, and no dermanaksut, this is similar to what we learned to the Mishnah. If a person took a neder that he's not going to wear the ksut from garments, mutar b'sak the yiriyah b'chamila. So we said he can wear the sackcloth and the yiriyah and the chamila. These are garments that people normally wouldn't wear. But asur b'punda u'b'piskia. But he's prohibited to wear punda or piskia. So punda, they said, is like the Rashi says, izur chalul shagogrim bo. It's like a hollowed out belt, like a money belt. He's prohibited from that. Upiskia is a wide belt. Uvaskrukia, ubikatablia, these are like leather type of garments. That's prohibited. In other words, these wouldn't be normally things would wear, people would wear these things. That's included. The belts are included and the leather garments are also included. But ampalia, uplinia, umethasayim. See, ampalia is like leggings. I don't know. And plinia, he says a sinar, which might be a girdle, it might be a belt. He says umech the Simon and pants, the kova and a hat. So even though the neder is ksut, the hat is included in the term ksut. It means that's the way people speak. So then, okay, that's the end of the brisa. And the Gemara says, my iskorti. What is iskorti? We had iskortia. It says amarabba barachana kituna detzala. It's like a leather jacket. Okay, Tanya, we learned the brisa. Now, this brisa is talking about a din in Shabbos. Now, on Shabbos, assuming there's no Erev, so the fact that I put something on doesn't mean that I'm allowed to walk around with it. In other words, it has to be a malbush in order for me to be able to, has to be a malbush or a tachshit. In other words, whatever I put on Shabbos has to be a malbush or a tachshit in order for me to have a heter. So like my example, we did like Masechet Shabbos, let's say a person has a chain and he attaches a key to it and the key's hanging from the chain. So is he allowed to go that way on Shabbos? No, that's not a tachshit, it's just a key hanging from a chain. So it has to be, let's say he sticks something, he puts like a pin with a key on his lapel. So it can go in like that. No, he's wearing it, but it's not a malbush, not a tachshit. So here, so the Brisa says, Tanya, Yotzin Besakave, Ubisago Save, Uviriva Chamila, Nehag Shamim. So on Shabbat, one is allowed to go out with these, like the thick sackcloth and everything else, because of the rain of a loba teva, but one cannot go out with a teva, would be like a chest or over his head, a loba kupa or box, a loba bakatel, Nehag Shamim, or the mat, because it's Shamim. Means, you know, if you don't have an Eruv, you know, not everything, you know, qualifies as a Malbush. So now, the Gemara, the way the Arsul was taking it, the Gemara is quoting from the beginning of the Brisa, which wasn't quoted so completely before. Haroim Yotzim Besakim. So the Brisa said that Roim shepherds grew up Besakim. So it doesn't mean just Roim, but it means that Chamim, speak about what's most common. So, one second. Yeah. So if you look at the Ran, around 5 lines to the bottom, Yotzim Besak Aveh B'Shabbat, Lorin Masuhu, Lo Sak Mamash Al Kain Sak, Tatani B'Seifa Roim Yotzim Besakim. So, okay. All right, 1 second. One minute. Right. He says in the footnote, he says, most people do not wear clothes made of regular sackcloth. Then the fact that shepherds do is sufficient to permit their wearing for any person. So if there are some people who do wear the sackcloth, so Gabi Dini Shabbos, you're okay. All right, let's go back in the Gemara. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Lefi Ano D'Rechulei. So Rabbi Yehuda says everything depends on the circumstances. So remember the guy, he was carrying the pile of wool and linen, and it stinks, and then he makes his neder, so he's not saying he's not going to wear these garments, he's not going to carry them anymore. So Tanya, we learned the Braisa, Kitzan Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Kol Lefi Ano D'Rechulei. How did Tana Rabbi Yehuda say everything depends on the no there? Hayala vush semer behetzar. That's he was wearing a wool garment and it was causing him distress. Yamar konam semer ole alai. And he says, he makes a konam, I'm not doing with the semer anymore. Asula bosh. So then in those circumstances, he can't wear it, but he could carry. He says, hayata un pishtan, if he was wearing, he was carrying linen, behizia, and he's sweating. Then he can wear it, but he can't carry it. Now, the implication of this brisa, we'll see them around in a second. See, this brisa takes it that absent any qualification, when he makes the konam, he can't wear it and he can't carry it. It was both are the default. In the Mishnah, was just one. Let's see the round on this, and then that'll be it for today. Okay, 5 lines from the bottom. Tanya, Ketzad Amar Rabbi Yehuda Tsar, Shahamalbush Hayatzar, then it's ta'erbo. The malbush, I don't know if it was tight or it was causing him distress. It sounds like the malbush was tight. So what was he wearing? He was wearing, was this wool? He's wearing, malbush semer. So I guess wool garments, maybe they become tight and uncomfortable. He says, umistaberli, the bright to pliga manitin, as far as the Rebbe Yehuda. Right. I think the Ran says, both the Brisa and the Mishnah quotes Tana Rebbe Yehuda, I think there's a machloket here, the Ran says. You know, without this Ran, we wouldn't know what's coming off in this sector. I mean, he's the one who's the Mora Derek here. He says, the Tana de Manitin Sfirlei, Rabbi Yehuda Moda the Tana Kam, the Bolhecha de Lecha Hochaka, Levisha Mashma. Because, below Te'ina. In other words, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if lacking anything, proving one way or another, so then if a person makes a konam from the Semer or the Pishtan, it means that he's wearing it, not carrying it. Rabbi Yehuda de Braita Mashva de Sfirlei from the Mishrei Te'ina Nami by Hotata. In order to permit carrying, you also need proof about Kolhechad Lecha Hotata in the absence of extraneous evidence as Surafilu Betina. And even carrying is prohibited. So, in other words, he thinks the Tana of the Mishnah holds a person makes like Konam Semerali, that means absent any extraneous evidence, that means wearing it. But in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda says if the person makes Konam Semerali, it means carrying, wearing and carrying. He says, Mistaber the Chmanitin Taimalan, but the Ran says, I think we hold like the Mishnah. Hilchach Stama Levisha Mashma. Therefore, absence of anything means Levisha. Velotin Abal, Hayataun. But if he was carrying it, and Mitochach Nadar, and then he makes another, a Sorbatin and Mitar Levisha. Then it would be the other way around. Zemash Nearly, Divrei Ramu Zalinam Kain, the Perachet Nihilchot Nadar. So the Ram doesn't pass him like me, but that's the way I like. That's the way I favor. Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? In the Braisa, the Braisa entertains the possibility that the neder could be on wearing or carrying, but it depends if you have a hokaka the other way. So the Braisa says if he's wearing it and he makes the neder, then he can't wear it, but he could carry it, and the other way around. But it's mashal. Let's say there's no evidence one way or another. So he'd be prohibited in both. Prohibited in both. But in the Mishnah, we think just for one, just the wearing. Okay, let me just do a few minutes or two, and that'll be it.
Wait,
I don't have time. I'm sorry. There's a piece here I want to go over. Now, he quotes here, from Moshe was asked whether it's permitted for a person to walk in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos with a plastic cover on his hat. Feinstein prohibited the practice because plastic coverings tend to protect the hat rather than the person. In other words, let's say it's raining, the person has a black hat and wants to cover the black hat with the plastic. So he felt that that's just to protect the hat. He says a garment by definition is something that is worn to serve the person, not something that's worn to protect his garments. So to be a malbush, it's got to bring protection to me. It says that reason one cannot cite our Gemara that permits wearing certain garments for protection from the rain as proof that it is permitted to wear a plastic cover one's hat, since the intention of the one wearing the garments mentioned in the Gemara is to protect himself from the rain rather than his clothing. I'm going to have to break this up in a minute. The Chalkos Yaakov rules that is permitted because the primary factor is whether it is commonly worn as a garment. And he said, I'll just do one more minute and more. Therefore, if people wear plastic cover on their hat during the week, there's no basis to prohibit wearing it on Shabbos since it qualifies as a garment. All right, anyway, it's a Machloket post he brings down. And the Minchas Yitzchak agrees with Ramosha. Okay, 30 seconds questions. What do you have, Fern?
Nothing important. Yes,
okay. Let me end the recording. Let me end this 1 second.